Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, beginning from verses 16 to 22. This is what the Lord says: He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Yet you have not called on me, Jacob. You have not wearied yourselves for me, Israel. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Would you please stand for the gospel reading? The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 11, beginning from verse 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you are pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in the heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the gospel of Christ.
Would you please be seated? One of the advantages of working in a school is the long holidays that we have. And we had a long Christmas break. We've just had it over the past few weeks, me and my family. We went overseas to the USA, where we traveled through three states over 35 days. The best part, of course, was being with my wife Sarah and my son Andrew, seeing other friends and family, lots of laughter, fun, tears, occasional arguments, especially when I drove on the wrong side of the road, great theme parks, art galleries, museums, and some good food, both spiritual and physical. We visited a couple of churches. One we went to in Houston, Texas, Lakewood Church, where Joel Osteen is the pastor. You may have seen it on TV. It was big. It was Texan. It was flash. The music, it was absolutely amazing. And Joel, well, what a slick sermon he delivers. Andrew, my son Andrew, who's in his final year of school, we both loved it. Sarah went for a coffee with a friend. Sarah was brought up in the Church of England with her father as a bishop. It was quite loud, the music, but man, we loved it. The other church we went to was the Anaheim Vineyard in California, the very first ever vineyard church planted by Vineyard founding pastor, legend, and all-round good guy, the humble and gentle John Wimber, now in heaven with his beloved Savior. The Vineyard movement is now all over the world. It's throughout New Zealand, in Auckland, and throughout the country. And through that church, The Holy Spirit has had a huge influence on millions of people around the world. Myself, Fraser and Sarah included, as we worked in London for many years in the HTB family of churches. Wimber and his team had a great ministry through the Holy Spirit among us, changed our lives. Sarah and Andrew and I were at Anaheim on the very first Sunday of the year. And as it was a new year, I was reminded about how Wimber was once asked whether he made New Year resolutions. And he replied by saying that he did, and there was always just two. It was easy to remember, just two, every year the same. The first, that he would stay in love with his wife. That's the first one. And the second one, that he would stay in love with Jesus and grow more in love with his Savior. We love going to the Anaheim. I especially loved it because 2 days before we got there, I had a toothache. I came down with a toothache. It was terrible. And I was like, oh no, American dentists, how much do they charge? Because I knew it would, our insurance wouldn't cover it. And so I was slightly like, oh no, why, Lord, why is this happening now? And Sarah said, oh, you must get prayed for when we go to the Vineyard Church. And I said, oh, yeah. Anyway, we went in there. It was fantastic. So laid back. So like California, you know, so relaxed, so laid back. Anyway, we got in there and we had this time of worship. They just go straight into the worship for about 20 minutes, half an hour. And we were just worshiping and something. And then we went through the service. Great sermon. Didn't get a chance to get prayed for. They had communion. They had a sort of tables around the place, bread and wine. And they said, if you want communion, there's some bread and wine. Spread around. So you just went and helped yourself, really. So laid back, especially for an Anglican priest like myself. It was quite refreshing. Anyway, during that afternoon, we went home, didn't get prayed for, toothache still going. But over the next sort of 2 or 3 hours, it just went. It just went and hasn't come back. I completely healed. So I thank God that I didn't have to pay an American dentist, and I thank God for healing me of a toothache. And it was just being in the presence of God. And there's a wonderful presence of God in that church. Just beautiful, lovely. Now, as mentioned, I've already mentioned New Year resolutions. I must admit, I'm not a fan over the many years I've tried. I do, however, really like something that the early church fathers did hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. It's a Christian alternative to New Year resolutions. And it's having what they called a rule of life, a rule of life for the year ahead. What is a rule of life? Well, here's one great description. It's a life that contains spiritual, relational, and vocational rhythms needed to sustain the life in Christ we've been called to. Isn't that lovely? Spiritual, relational, vocational rhythms through and in your life as you journey through the year ahead. So briefly, I'm going to share with you my rule of life for 2019. And it came together over the past few weeks as we traveled around. My rule of life for 2019 is simply praise Jesus. That's my rule of life. Praise Jesus. I hope it inspires you as I share with you just my own rule of life to consider these things. Praise Jesus. Each letter stands for something because I love that. I can memorize things really easily. And so this is my rule of life for 2019. I do hope you... I need to go back one. So if I go like that, there it is. So the first one, P, stands for purity. The Bible says, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. Now, I've chosen this because only a few weeks ago, as I got back to school, you know, at King's College, where I'm the chaplain, I have this beautiful chapel that I can wander into when no one's around. And I was in there with my guitar, walking up and down the the aisle and just worshiping, and just being in the presence of the Lord. And I looked up, and all alongside one wall of the chapel, these beautiful stained glass windows. You've never been into King's College Chapel. Wow, it's an amazing chapel. One side, there was eight windows, and they all have pictures of the healing miracles of Jesus telling each story. And in each one, I was struck as I was thinking, clean hands and a pure heart. And each one, Jesus was reaching out his hand and praying for the blind man, or he was praying for the leper, or he was feeding the hungry. But in each one, I was struck by the beauty of the hands of that. And I felt, well, that the Lord was saying, clean hands and a pure heart. Our hands, we can use our hands for all sorts of things, can't we? Our hands can be used for giving, or they can be used for taking. They can be used for hitting, or they could be used for blessing. Our hands, the Lord calls us, is to have clean hands and a pure heart. So P stands for purity. R, it stands for rest. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, Jesus said, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Well, guys, I'm not talking about lying on the couch with the remote. I'm talking about the finished work of Christ on the cross. He has done it. He has done the work of forgiveness, victory over sin and death and the devil. Rest in Christ for the Christian is letting go of those things, of the burdensome and the weariness, and putting all our trust and faith in Christ. We cannot earn our way to God. Hallelujah. Nothing we can do. Except one thing, as Billy Graham said, the only thing I can bring to my salvation in the cross, to add to it, is my sin. That's it. It's all I can bring. Christ does it all. And I put a picture of the cross there and that restfulness that the cross brings into a Christian's life, because it was in my 20s that I experienced the healing, forgiveness, power of the cross, freedom from drug addiction and alcoholism and a terrible home situation just 2 miles down the road here. Wonderfully, wonderfully set free. Rule of life for 2019, resting in the work of Christ on the cross. A, it stands for an attitude of gratitude. Give thanks in all circumstances, Paul writes, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And it's just simply, isn't it, stirring up gratitude in one's heart as the day begins, instead of waking up in the morning and letting all the thoughts and the work and the things you have to do flood into your mind. Push them back. Say, thank you, Lord. I'm awake. It's another day. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And stirring up gratitude in one's heart. Thankful for the cross. Thankful for Christ's victory. Thankful that I'm on my way to heaven. Thankful for the Father's love. Which leads to I and the letter praise. Intimacy. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Jesus often withdrew to be on his own with the Father, making time. As someone said, love is a four-letter word, spelt T-I-M-E, withdrawing to those places of quiet solitude, a walk along a beach, sitting up on a mountain, being with the Father. Constantly withdrawing. And so in that way, he was able to cope with the stress, the anxiety, the crowds, the busyness. All he had to do, he withdrew, withdrew, withdrew. Intimacy. This is the verse that the Anaheim pastor preached on their first Sunday for their year ahead. He talked about the healing that they were experiencing. And I was a participant of that. I was healed that day. He talked about the feeding of the poor and the hungry that they were doing in the local area of Anaheim in California. And they thank God, but the one thing, but they said, it's wonderful, but we want the presence of the Father. We want the presence of the Lord, to know the presence. That's what was important. We were driving back from the beach yesterday, and I was sharing with my family some of the things that I've been saying this morning, and I was saying intimacy, intimacy. And I said, it's basically it's spelled into me see. Have you heard that before? Intimacy, into me see. You know, like into God, into me see. Into me see. So I was telling my teenage son, he said, oh, it's so stupid. Well, that doesn't even spell right. Into me see. What's that mean? Pearl before swine, I tell you. S, let's move on to S. I think this is one for us all. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Sabbath rest. To take a 24-hour break from all work, ministry, emails, texts, every 6 days, 24 hours. Do nothing except rest, remember, and do something recreational. Those are my three R's. To rest, to remember, i.e. come to church and worship, to remember all that God has done and Christ has done. Rest, remember, and go and do something recreational to recreate yourself. Some exercise, some sort of activity that will recreate you. It's so important. Our society is just 7 days a week full blast, and people are checking their emails, you know, on the, you know, just let it go. I tell you, this is so important to keep a Sabbath. It's so good too. It's so refreshing. I'm working on it. Because as we get to the end of the word praise, do you know, because we have an enemy. And Ephesians, oh, there, I've got two E's, enemy and Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. I have no shame in telling you that I put on the armor of God every day. I know, because the battles are real. And the spiritual reality of life is full on. And so I'll go in the shower and I'll start worshiping. Praise Jesus. I think I'm singing at the moment, it's your blood that cleanses me. It's your blood. In the shower, Sarah's going, what the heck? She's having a worship session in the shower. Come out of the shower, get dressed, here it comes. Boom, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, shield of faith, shoes for the gospel of peace, pick up that sword of the Spirit. Come on. Walk out the door. Oh, hang on, I better go and have some toast, hang on. Put on the armor of God. Do you know that's why Paul wrote it in the Bible. Put it on. Go through it. Memorize it. Just put it on. It's so easy to do, and it sort of starts to gear you up in the right mind. There's my praise. Let's move on to Jesus. J, joy. And Nehemiah, who was going through a terrible time. The walls are broken down of Jerusalem. He's beaten up. He had enemies coming at him all the time. And God said this to him. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Rule of Life 2019, I'm pursuing joy. More joy, Lord, because it gets pretty tough sometimes. How do you spell joy? J-O-Y. Jesus first, others next, and yourself last. Put Jesus first, put others next, and put yourself last. Joy will start to flow. For me, E stands for evangelism. Paul writing to the young Timothy, but you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. This is my calling. Wonderfully saved, 50 million years ago, now just saved from a wretched life, and God put on my heart evangelism to go and tell others the good news, to do the work God has called. God has gifted you with a special calling, an anointing, a gift on your life. Discover it, fan it into flame, ask for God's anointing on it, and then obediently go and do it and use it and develop it and grow it. For me, I remember when I was first converted in London, I was living with a family, and I used to have to go and do my own laundry. I was sleeping on their couch, and I had to go and do my own laundry. So I'd take my laundry every week down to the local laundromat on a Saturday morning, and it was packed. And I think, brilliant, a captive audience. And so I'd go down to the laundromat, and I'd shove all my clothes in the washing machine. And as it washed and turn around, and then I'd stick around for it to tumble dry, I basically started telling people about the gospel. I'd take my guitar and sing Christian songs that I'd written, and I'd sort of just do this whole thing in the laundromat. I just thought that's what you did. And I must say, it's like week after week after week. About the fourth week, I got there on a Saturday morning, no one there. Where is everyone? Saturday morning, they were all here 4 weeks ago. No one. Had the laundromat to myself. Anyway, I haven't stopped. I've tried to develop it and hopefully ask for God's help as I go about this work. S stands for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's the command. Be filled with the Spirit. Go on being filled with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. So a rule of life, which I expect the early church fathers did over and over again, waiting on the Spirit every day, finding some time. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and fill me today. Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, come by your power and simply fill my heart. Now, where's my coffee? And off you go into the day. I mean, that's a simple prayer to pray, even as you sort of jump out of bed, stick your 2 feet on the ground. Just say, it takes about 30 seconds. Come, Holy Spirit. Wonderfully, this past week I read in the Christian Press about an article, and it says, Archbishop of Canterbury speaks in tongues. Justin Welby. It was like, the Archbishop of Canterbury speaks in tongues. It reminded me, I went to a church in Rugby when the Archbishop Justin Welby, he was a vicar of a church in Rugby, and me and my vicar at the time and a couple of others went up and did a weekend of ministry to Justin and his church. And I remember praying for Justin, praying for him to receive the Holy Spirit. And it was wonderful weekend. And the Spirit came and moved in that church. And people started receiving gifts and new ways of worship. It was great. So if you want prayer after the service, do come. I'll pray for you. I can't promise. You might end up the Archbishop of Canterbury. Can't promise it, though. But it just reminded me of that. And speaking in tongues is just such a wonderful, wonderful gift that God has given. It's like a gateway gift to other gifts. Of course, if you're a Christian, or all Christians, you know, you're still a Christian if you don't speak in tongues and all of that. But it is a gift for people, for God's children. And I personally find it so helpful when I just don't know what to pray or how to pray. I simply just mutter away in my spiritual language, and it does build me up and help me each day. So that's something you might want to explore as a rule of life. You. Now, it was tough coming up with something with you, but I did come up with under authority. Bit of license there, under authority. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority, heaven on earth, has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This one, this rule of life, isn't it, is all about obedience. We're under authority, simply obeying Jesus and doing what he told us to do. Follow me, he says, and he says every day, follow me. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be obedient, to simply follow you and do the things you ask of us each day. Amen. And we've come to the end of the name Jesus. Praise Jesus. S stands for supplication. Do not be anxious, Paul wrote, about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I love this particular photo. I did get this one off the internet, but I've got this one on my phone now because we drove past these hands when we were in Oklahoma staying with family. It's very impressive. They're huge hands. Look at those little trees next to them. And it's a Christian university, obviously Oral Roberts University. But I was so impressed by these. And I just feel that, you know, that is a call on all of our lives as we're called to pray. For me, it is the most important thing I can do. I've been called as an ordained person to the ministry of the word and to prayer. Acts 6, verse 4, you've been called to the ministry of prayer and to the word, the ministry of the word. And so that's what I'm committed to. And it's just so important to carve out time. For me, it's simply three times a day, morning, midday, and in the evening. And it's a wonderful releasing of the work. It's like, my work is not God. My family is not God. The Lord is my God. And therefore, by putting there, you know, a few minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour in the morning, 20 minutes midday, 20 minutes, half an hour in the evening, it's saying, Lord, you are God. You are God. You are God. I lay it all down. I give it all to you. I don't want my job to be my God. I don't want my family to be my God or my work or anything. I want you to be the Lord. And that's a calling to prayer. So, and it obviously has great benefits, freedom from anxiety and all sorts of things. So that's praise Jesus. That's my year ahead. I'm going to sort of stick with it and persevere and go for it. Do you know, when we left the USA just a couple of weeks ago, do you know, it was such, in a small part, with three states, Texas, Oklahoma, and California. It was a divided nation. People said, do not talk about Donald Trump. You just end up in a fight. So we sort of didn't. People are divided, particularly in that part of America, about building a wall on the southern borders. The government, well, it was still shut down, 800,000 people without getting paid for almost a month. Huge problems with homelessness everywhere. I couldn't believe the number of homeless people we saw living on the sides of streets and tents. Drugs, crime, illegal immigration. They've got huge problems. But as I reflected on it and came back to New Zealand, I think what's happening in the United States is just a snapshot, really, of a whole world that seems to be going completely off script. Other current international concerns, and you will know these, United Kingdom and Brexit, it's a mess. There's trouble in China. We have a number of Asian students from China in King's College, and it's my business to know what's going on in China. And at the moment, the Communist Party is clamping down in China. Pastors are being arrested. Churches are being shut down. There seems to be a rise of that sort of rule, communistic rule, arising in China again. France, Greece, Italy, Korea, the Middle East, Russia, I can go on, Africa, Kenya, there's problems. The global economy, some say, is fragile. And I was listening to the radio the other day about dramatic climate changes, especially in the last 3 years. The heat of the planet is just, it's really got quite, you know, it's gone up quite a bit in just the last 3 years, a big increase. So we're living in a world of massive change. The pillars, the foundations that have sort of underpinned things for so long seem to be shaking, crumbling, moving around, being destroyed. I mean, if I think about in my own lifetime, we in the West, we've gone from a culture that was founded really on Christian Judeo foundations, haven't we? Where they were the norm. But now, there seems to be only one fundamental truth, and that there is now no truth. Doesn't seem to be any. And if you stand up for what you think is truth, well, put on your helmet, take up your breastplate, and put your armor on, because it'll come in. So just in closing, as we get into 2019, what are we to do? What is a Christian response to what is happening around us in our own nation and in the world? Well, my encouragement to you is maybe one way forward is to actually look back. Is to actually look back to the early church fathers, to the original church, to the 3rd century, to the 16th century, the Reformation. These people and characters who lived and wrote, and we can read their stuff today. Maybe it's to look back to them, to rediscover, well, for me, it's a rediscovery of a rule of life. So I've shared my one with you, and I use it, as I said, in the time of prayer. When I'm waking up in the morning, I'll just go through it. P-R-A-I-S-E, J-E-S, joy, armor, all of that sort of thing. It's a great thing to use when you're going off to sleep as well. Finding spiritual, relational, and vocational rhythms to sustain our lives in Christ. Amen. Please stand, and I'll pray for us. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come. Maybe you'd like to put out your hands, or an attitude of just saying, Lord, here I am. Into me see. Come, Holy Spirit. Maybe it's purity. Maybe you just need the Holy Spirit's help to clean up your life a little bit. Maybe it's just bringing things to the cross. Maybe it's just saying, thank you, Lord, thank you. Maybe it's sorting out a rhythm of rest so that you have a day every week where you just lay it all down. Maybe you feel beaten up by the enemy, tempted or not. Come, Holy Spirit, and free your people. Give us joy. Fan into flame the gifts you've given us. Come, Holy Spirit. We'd just like to say, fill me, Holy Spirit. Come in your power.